Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be a somewhat controversial syndrome. There's even disagreement about how many people suffer from it. The American Psychiatric Association says 5% of American children have it, but the CDC puts that number at more than twice that. Treatments for ADHD are also controversial. One that's been gaining attention is neurofeedback, basically a way to train the brain to regulate itself. But is it effective? To help sort this out, I'm joined by two neurologists from Mayo Clinic in Arizona, Dr. Amy Crapo and Dr. Joseph Servin. And Joe, let me start with you. I'd like to get a better definition of neurofeedback. What exactly is it?
Neurofeedback can have a lot of different definitions when it comes to the term that's used, but I'll start it off. And specifically, what we're looking at here is utilizing the EEG waves. And so this is the brain patterns that your brain, all human brains, produce. And they can vary with certain levels of activity, sleep, wakefulness, drowsiness, all the spectrum of things that you can be. And the concept is if one knows the patterns that something that an EEG looks like when you're doing an activity or resting or you're sleeping, can you potentially train yourself to create the patterns that are associated with the desired behavior?
So you're basically training your brain to behave in the way that you want it to behave.
Correct. And then a lot of these techniques, as you're doing it, you're having kind of a monitor that you're watching. You have constant guidance regarding, do you have to concentrate more? Do you have to change what your focus is? So it's kind of a guided way to modify those brain waves.
So when somebody's doing this, are they looking at different images of things and somebody is watching sort of how their brain reacts to it, and somebody might see an open field versus an ocean versus a city street or something like that? And depending on how their brain reacts to those particular images, that might be like what they want to have as their screensaver or something like that.
Right. So in many ways, you have to think of it. There's two parallel things happening. Something on the surface for the person that is trying to train their brain, and then the actual brain waves behind there. And so if you know what the pattern or whatever activity it is that gives the desired behavior, you can, in essence, look at this particular pattern or picture or video and basically adjust it to where the brain waves are doing what you want them to do. And basically that can be different emotional states, or it can try to get them to alert themselves to a particular activity so you're more focused or concentrating. At least that's the theory.
Amy, how does this relate to people who have ADHD?
So the idea is that different areas of the brain have different functions to them, and different brain waves can correlate with different states that someone is in. And so the idea is that if you can focus on different areas of the brain, you can try to increase attention, or you can decrease hyperactivity by trying to train the brain in those areas and get the desired result that you're looking for on the screen or with the brainwave patterns.
How much do we know about how much this particular method helps people who have this particular disease?
That's a little bit more difficult to get to how much it really helps. So there have certainly been studies done in the U.S. They've been done in Europe, you know, looking at many, particularly children with ADHD, and trying to use this to focus on either increasing attention or decreasing, you know, impulsive behaviors with it. And there are studies that have shown, you know, some positive responses to it. I think the challenge is a lot of times those studies compare different techniques of the neurofeedback, or they compare, you know, medication plus a technique, or medication plus, you know, a different technique. And so it's hard to say if you purely have someone that does neurofeedback versus almost sham neurofeedback, right? So you really have a blinded control. I don't think we have good studies saying, compared to a blinded control, how much benefit is there. So even though there does seem to be some positive results in the literature, I think that's a little bit difficult to make definitive conclusions about the exact extent of response.
It seems a little counterintuitive that somebody who has trouble focusing would be able to be treated by looking at a screen with images that are changing. Am I wrong to think that?
No, not at all. And in fact, this is where the issue kind of lies when it comes to these type of approaches. The reason that this even comes up is because the standard of care is a medication, and the medication can concern people because there are always side effects to medication. So the traditional route is you want to find something that is not medicinal and that does not have a side effect. So here you have a potential option that, to the premise of your question, that doesn't completely seem to jive, but it is based on a concept that there's a specific EEG abnormality that has been seen in some kids and adults that have the condition.
And is that complicated, do you think, by the fact that you can't get a blood test for ADHD? It's kind of a subjective kind of diagnosis.
They're diagnostic criteria, but ultimately you do have to meet those criteria. But you're right, there's not a clear blood test. And so you can try to use, there are different scores that measure attention and impulsivity. So a lot of times when I do the studies, they try to look at those numbers with it. So you can measure it to some degree, but it's challenging to know where exactly that endpoint is, because ultimately it comes down to, well, how is the individual performing? Exactly. Are they being successful in their life? And that's a little bit harder to quantify necessarily.
I think there are a lot of people who would probably say that technology has hindered their ability to pay attention or stay on task. I mean, we all have smartphones in our pockets. If we have even 5 seconds of spare time, we're scrolling through emails or checking Facebook or whatever. And a lot of people, I think, joke about the fact that they have ADHD. It's an unfortunate joke. Is there evidence to suggest that the availability and the ready access that we all seem to have to technology and screens and all sorts of stimuli everywhere we look, does that add to the prevalence of ADHD?
That's an interesting question, and I don't think that anyone has ever made that direct link. However, you can comfortably state that all of the different ways that we consume and get information has made us more inattentive.
I think that brings up an interesting correlate, though, to the neurofeedback, right? Because if this issue is this inattention, you're always distracted. Well, with neurofeedback, you're really forced to sit there and pay attention and concentrate on, you know, the task in front of you. And we certainly, you know, there's evidence that suggests techniques like meditation and mindfulness can help with a lot of different conditions with it. So almost like, to what degree is the neurofeedback really facilitating attention by facilitating a kind of a guided meditation or another approach that ultimately helps train the brain to help with, you know, you can't look at your iPhone for that time that you're in the neurofeedback session. You have to focus on that concentration. And maybe that's where some of the benefit comes from.
Dr. Amy Crapo is a neurologist at Mayo Clinic. We also heard from her colleague, Dr. Joseph Servin, also a neurologist at Mayo Clinic. We were talking about whether neurofeedback could be used as a treatment for ADHD.